You know that feeling when a song comes on and it's so good that it feels like you're frozen in time? Well, that's what my podcast In My Tracks is all about. The songs that stopped me in my tracks. I'm your host, Jada Burt, and I have revealing conversations with musicians about their creative challenges, mental health struggles, and the economic realities they're facing as independent artists today. And you discover your new favorite songs. Tune into In My Tracks everywhere you listen to podcasts.
What is up, y'all? This is Scarlett, aka Scardi B, aka your resident emo historian. And join me as I unpack the history of Fall Out Boy and hip hop. Look, y'all, there is a lot to cover in this limited run podcast. So strap on in, cause sugar, we're going in.
What is up, y'all? It is your girl Scardi B, and welcome back to Sugar We're Going In, the only podcast about Fall Out Boy and hip hop, because I'm the only person crazy enough to put it together. Welcome to the motherfucking anniversary episode, y'all. This show is 1 year old. Can you believe it? Like, last year on this day, I was flying out from LA because Fall Out Boy had two show dates in LA, July 4th weekend. And I remember flying out and uploading these episodes and watching them go live and literally jumping for fucking joy after like 10 downloads, right? I had fucking made it. I was famous. Like, honestly, like, whoever wants my autograph, come get it, right? And whether you've been rocking with me, you know, from the very beginning, from the middle, or if you're just listening right now, thank you, because this week, Sugar We're Going In broke 10,000 downloads. 10,000 downloads. And that is thank you to all of y'all listening, engaging, sharing the show. And it's changed my fucking life. Okay, so let's go into what we're here for, yeah. Right? We're here to talk about Fall Out Boy. We're here to talk about hip hop. And this year, as a reminder, is still 2008, right? So we just covered a ton about Foley, and now we're getting into the extracurriculars that you know Fall Out Boy fucking loves. The side quests. Here we are with one of my favorite side quests. And the meat and potatoes of this episode really comes from the fact that, did y'all know that I'm from Philly? Yes. Shut the fuck up, dickhead. Also, yes. Well, I'm a Philly gal, and I am so excited to present this episode because we are talking about the legendary Roots, baby. You know the fucking vibes. The Roots, formed in 1987 by Amir Questlove Thompson and Tarik Black Thought Trotter in Philly, are renowned for their innovation and fusion of hip hop and live instrumentation, right? So unlike most hip hop acts that really relied on pre-recorded beats and production, even live, the Roots have always emphasized live performance, right? So they integrated a live band with elements of jazz, funk, and soul into their music. Over the years, they became celebrated for their socially conscious lyrics, complex musical arrangements, and motherfucking unforgettable live shows. I mean, this band has achieved a mainstream success with albums like Things Fall Apart, and gained further recognition as the house band for The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon. Their dedication to pushing these musical boundaries and maintaining a strong live presence has just put them eons ahead of so many of the hip hop and rap acts that we know and love. I mean, they are trailblazers. They are the legendary Roots. You might know some of my favorite songs like The Seed and You Got Me, featuring the incomparable Erykah Badu. But did you know that our very own Patrick is featured on an iconic Roots track that didn't quite make the cut on their CD, Rising Down? Now, we'll cover this in a tiny bit, but I'm telling you, like, it was made, it was good, it had its own video. Okay, now, the song was supposed to be the lead single for Rising Down, the Roots album, but when the album took a more darker and political theme, the track was just left off the album completely. And I have some sources that talk about the decision-making process in making the decision to leave it off the album. Aye, so boom, we in it, okay? Imagine it. It's 2005. Patrick attends a legendary Roots jam that is held Grammy weekend in West Hollywood. He came and showed the fuck out, as history tells it, because Questlove had plenty to say about this fateful night. Now, via the Backbeat Online, there was a Q&A with Quest, and this was May 28th of 2008 by Westworld, aka Michael Roberts. And if you don't mind, I'm gonna put on my VO voice and read it to you. That okay? I'm doing it anyway. Anyway, so Westworld goes, a lot's been made about Birthday Girl not ending up on the album here in the States. Whose idea was the collaboration with Patrick in the first place? Was it you guys, or did someone at the label suggest it to you? Questlove goes, usually the way black people do stuff is they got to look at the top of the charts and see who's hot and how I can grab their demographic. Like, in a normal world, like, I'd be like, let's grab U2, let's grab Coldplay. Well, you saw the way that Coldplay and the wars for them like went down between like Jay and Kanye. And that was more or less the thinking in terms of those numbers that you have to hit. Like, how can I expand my audience? I'm sure that some of it has to do with some social nuances, but really let's talk about the numbers they can bring. It's not like Kanye and Jay are going to argue about the lead singer of The Gossip or The Fiery Furnaces. If you want to associate yourself with obscure rock people, come see me because I know those people, Dear Hoof and people like that. Quest continues with, usually with black acts, it's more or less about expanding your numbers. But with us, I met Patrick in a hotel lobby and I had a J. Dilla shirt on. And we were talking for 20 minutes about J. Dilla and I just thought he was some fan, right? And then Kirk Douglas, who is also known as Captain Kirk, his guitar player, came up and he started talking. And the way Kirk was talking, Kirk knew who the guy was. So when Patrick turns his back, I'm like, who is this guy? And Kirk goes, he's Patrick Stump from Fall Out Boy. And I was like, oh, because I never knew him. And after that, I invited him to our 'Twas the Night Before the Grammys jam. Every year we do this event called 'Twas the Night Before the Grammys. And he came and I was like, okay. Even then, I wasn't familiar with Fall Out Boy's material, but he had been waving his ghetto card big. He was singing She's a Bad Mama Jamma and Prince's Kiss and all this stuff. So we became friends, and that's when I realized this guy is kind of the Questlove of his group. We're comparing iPods with each other, and have you seen this bootleg? I don't know if you remember that meeting in Boogie Nights between Dirk Diggler and what's his name? The guy who plays Walk Hard? Westworld jumps in with John C. Reilly. Questlove continues, yeah, John C. Reilly. When they first meet, they're trying to outdo each other, and that was me and Patrick all the way. Like, I've got this documentary of the Police that no one's ever seen. And I pull out my copy and say, you mean this one? And he's like, how'd you get that? And that's how we became cool. We'd done the Grammy thing, our jam session thing, 2, 3, 4 years. So I guess we had some time off, you know? So I said, yo, let's mess around in the studio, and actually worked on 3 or 4 joints. And then Birthday Girl actually wasn't even collaborated on. We had that song since probably 2004's The Tipping Point album. And at the end of the session, I said, yo, you want to sing on this joint real quick? And he did it in like 10 minutes. And that was basically it. Westworld goes, but of course, the people at the label are going to have some demographic reaction that you talked about earlier. It's being portrayed as them trying to force a song on you, and that's why you let it off the album. But that's clearly not the case. Quest continues with, no, because we know the name of the game. The thing is, they'll let you be who you are, but if you want to be effective, you know what you've got to do. So it's like, okay, are we going to make an art record this year? Are we going to sell some records? What are we going to do, gentlemen? Okay. And it's the marketplace, right? So in order for us to recoup the money we spent on this record, we have to sell at least 300,000 units. And because nobody wants to be seen in the L category of not bringing in profits to the label, because that's the name of the game, this is the kind of stuff that people don't realize or see it happening behind the scenes. And that right there really became the talking or the focal point on why Birthday Girl was left off. It was an election year. It was very big, strenuous times. So just the same way that Folia Do was coming out and basically moved around because of the elections, this album had to be something that spoke about the times. Hip hop, the roots, they are known for just being storytellers. And the story of that year wasn't so fucking fun. There was a lot on the line, and they wanted to make sure that the art that they had been working so long towards reflected that. And I fucking respect it. And the song's out. You can listen to it. It's called Birthday Girl. Patrick himself continued getting a ton of press on just his work in collaboration with other artists. So in an article written by Simon Levinson, it was published on March 14th of 2008 on Entertainment Weekly, and it's called Patrick Stumps Hip Hop Crossover, you know, pretty cut and dry. But he talks about working with Lupe and the Roots. And there's this little segment that I wanted to say, which was Patrick goes, "I've always made beats for myself just for shits and giggles." Patrick adds that he was totally surprised when Lupe asked to rap over one of his creations. He goes, "I had assumed it was just me kidding myself with a laptop." The Roots, Questlove, who jammed with Patrick at the pre-Grammy bashes for the last 3 years, says he was won over by the self-described record nerd's obscure music knowledge. Questlove goes, "He and I go toe-to-toe for hours trying to out-iPod each other. Everything I am up on, he outdoes me. He's like Jack Black in High Fidelity." Now, if you've listened to the show, you know I love that interview from the Hype Man podcast that is off the internet and that I happen to be able to find a link to. But Patrick talks a bit about that work with the Roots and also that bombshell that a song that the Roots kind of was just like, turned into Scandalous by Cobra Starship. So let's listen to some more clips and refresh our brains on what it was like for Patrick working with the Roots.
It was just kind of generally the coolest thing for me. It was a really cool introduction to it, you know, because to hip hop production, because I didn't really know how, you know, I knew how I made beats. I didn't know how people tracked, you know, right, I didn't know how, like, so to see it in that context, I totally bombed that day, but I learned.
You learned a lot.
I learned a ton.
So the song with the Roots is called Birthday Girl?
Yes.
Yeah, and you're on the hook on that.
Yeah, I'm the hook on that. And I don't know if I played, because I did demo on a lot of it. I don't know if, like, I played some bass and I played some guitar. I don't know if that made it to the record or what, but.
And who do you collaborate with for that, Questlove, mostly?
Yeah, well, it was really interesting. It was basically Quest in the studio. And they had the song. They had, we had written like three or four songs together, and a lot of them did. Actually, one of them ended up being one of the ones that he didn't really want. One of the ones that I had written ended up being the backbone for a really, really way different Cobra Starship song.
Oh, really?
Really? Which one?
I think it's called Scandalous, and it couldn't possibly have been less. When you take out all of the things that Cobra Starship did, it sounds like a root song. It sounds like it would have been a great root song, but without live instruments and with Gabe being
Black Thought
dirty.
Yeah. Being, playing the Black Thought role. I like to think you were playing Dice Raw.
Yeah, right.
After the song was all said and done, our dude again, Simon Levinson over at Entertainment Weekly, had the chance to review some of the tracks on there. And he goes, "A Birthday Girl, summery guitar chords, and an ultra catchy hook song by Fall Out Boy's Patrick Stump have made this the leading contender for Rising Down's first single. It's a pleasant breeze of a song, at least until you notice the vaguely creepy lyrics in which Stump and Trotter fondly address an adoring female fan on the occasion of her 18th birthday. It's based on experiences that we all go through today as musicians and as parents," Trotter says. "It deals with what our daughters are exposed to, the effects of My Super Sweet 16, reality TV, and all this crazy shit." Now, this is me talking, Scardy, right? So y'all can listen to that song, read the lyrics, take it however y'all want to take it. But it definitely talks about, you know, just the wanting to grow up and what really happens when you grow up. So listen to it. There's like a visualizer online. The Roots or Patrick aren't in the video, I believe. But you can at least have a visual for the song. It's like a house party. It's kind of cool, but very Tumblr. Very extremely fucking Tumblr and hipster. Fast forward to April 8th of 2008, just mere weeks before the April 29th release of the Roots album Rising Down, Gary Graff for Billboard writes, "The Roots bump Birthday from new album." This is a whole article, y'all, okay? So, Gary goes, The intended first single for The Roots' new album, which features Fall Out Boy's Patrick Stump, has fallen off of Rising Down, due April 29th via Def Jam. Drummer and co-producer Amir Questlove Thompson tells Billboard.com that the track Birthday Girl has been bumped simply because it does not fit the tone of what he calls the most incendiary political album of our career to date. It was just sticking out like a sore thumb, Thompson said of Birthday Girl, which was built from an idea that's been around since sessions for The Roots' 2004 album, The Tipping Point. Initially, it was going to kickstart the record, but that didn't work. And then when we were going to have like a halftime thing where it was going to come in the middle of the record as like a break from the political thing, but that didn't work either. And we tried to make it the last song on the record, and that just wasn't working, he continues. Then we tried to make it the hidden track, and that wasn't effective. Basically, the album was complete. It starts with Rising Down and ends with Rising Up. So that makes more sense to me. Thompson says that even though it won't be on the album, Birthday Girl will still be available as an iTunes exclusive later this month. This month being fucking April 2008. It's up now, y'all. The Roots and Stump, who became friendly with the band at its 2004 pre-Grammy Awards jam session, have filmed the video for Birthday Girl, which will be available on viral outlets. Rising Down also features guest appearances by Common, Mos Def, Talib Kweli, Saigon, and others. The political tone, Thompson says, was inspired by circumstances in the Roots' native Philadelphia, where high school dropout rates are 45% and the crime has sharply increased. Add all that up, plus being in your mid-30s and working 300 nights a year and being in an election year. Yeah, that's what the album's about, Thompson says. Woof. Okay, so I see it. I understand it. Like I said at the beginning of the episode, I understand what it's not on it. And again, it's available everywhere. You can listen to this song and actually enjoy it, not having to be on Rising Down. That album did what the fuck it needed to do, and that's what it needed to do. And it didn't include Birthday Girl in those plans. But don't call this a fail, okay? So Patrick later joins The Roots in Washington, D.C. in 2010, covering If You Think You're Lonely Now, originally by Bobby Womack, which I know I'm always willing to, like, fuck around and find out and play it on the podcast, you know, on some, like, whoopsies, like, my hand slipped while editing type shit. Come at me, honestly. I can fight in real life, but maybe if y'all are nice and tell me I'm pretty, I'll play it for our 2010 episode, okay? And that's coming up. Remember, we're in 2008 right now. Anyway, I love how this episode came together because Patrick and Questlove are kindred drummer spirits, and it shows in the way they just get each other. Here's to a Philly gal praying for another collaboration moment that I can see with my eye holes, hear with my ear holes. You get the deal, right? Sure. So I wanted to end the show with some foreshadowing that also came from that Entertainment Weekly article that talked about Patrick and his crossover with hip hop. So it goes, next up, Stump is producing several rap-centric cuts for Gym Class Heroes' fourth CD due this summer. I don't think a lot of people realize that Gym Class Heroes' frontman, Travis McCoy, is an MC. That's really his first love, and I don't think he got to shine on that last record. Despite his confidence, the emo crooner is also quick to keep his newfound skills in perspective. I don't think I could ever convincingly have any type of hip-hop star, Stump laughs, but I'm definitely a hip-hop fan. All right, y'all. So now y'all know way too much about Patrick Stump and The Roots. You're fucking welcome. You just went the fuck in, as always, here on Sugar We're Going In. And again, I'm just so grateful. This is celebrating 1 year of Sugar We're Going In, and this podcast has changed my life in so many ways. The people I get to meet, the places I get to go, and it just is, it's going to continue, and it's because of y'all and your encouragement. So thank you so much. Let's give it a big from me, Scardi B, to you, my shugs, my loves. This is why I do what I do. And some exciting news, I will be going on tour with Snack Time, who's performing with Portugal the Man for a few weeks in the Northwest. So if you're at one of those shows, please holler. But if not, I will be back to talk all things Gym Class Heroes and The Quilt. And we're going to keep Sugar going and going, you know? So we're going to keep the episodes going. We're going to keep the interviews going. Mommy's got some cute ones lined up that I hope to show y'all soon. But thank you to every guest, every Fan Friday, every share, every listen, every like. It really means the world. And you can find me at Sugar We're Going In on Instagram or Twitter. All I do is shit post about Fall Out Boy. So like, if you're into that type of shit, you know, come hang, come holler, message me, I'm here. But here's the 1 year and here's the many more. But you know, it wouldn't be a Sugar We're Going In episode without me saying fuck it all, we ball. Here is The Roots featuring Patrick Stump, Birthday Girl. Happy birthday to, oh my god, it's Sugar We're Going In's birthday, and I picked it. This is me realizing at the end of the fucking episode that the song is named Birthday Girl and it's Sugar We're Going In's birthday. I promise you, y'all, I'm good at this marketing thing, but this is just fate. Enjoy Birthday Girl, The Roots featuring Patrick Stump. We just went the fucking, it be me, Scardi B. I fucking love you. Be nice to yourself. Be nice to others. Bye.
Let me know to get you one again. In fact, blow out the candles on the cake and make a wish for me.